Third parak of Pirkei Avos. Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer. Akavya ben Mahalalel said, Histakel b'shlosha dvarim ve'ein atabali de'avera. Contemplate deeply. Histakel. Histakel means to stare at something. That's different than seeing something or glancing at something. Histakel means to really to meditate upon something. Histakel b'shlosha dvarim, if you contemplate deeply these three things, ein ata bali de avera. You won't come to do an avera. And not only that, the lashon of the Mishnah is that a person won't even come lidei avera. Obviously, the pasuk pshat means that it won't, you know, averas won't come to his hands, it won't reach him. The Pnei Menachem, the sixth Ger Rebbe, says that we have a concept in, let's say, in Maseches Nedarim, right, where something is called a yad laneder. A yad of something means, you know, the same way you would describe, how would you, you know, you have a pot and you have a handle, right? So the pot is, or the skillet is the actual area that you're going to use to cook, but you need something to hold it. So the Pnei Menachem said, lidei avera means that if you think about these things, you won't even come to the yad, to the handle, so to speak. You won't even come close to the avera. Which is very important because very often, as we know, avera goreres avera. That once you've made a little bit of contact with the avera, so things start to spiral from one thing to the next. So think about these three things, and not only will you not come to the etzem avera, but you won't even come lidei avera. What are the three things? Dame ayin basa, know where you come from. Ula anata holech, know where you're going. Vlefne mi ata asid litein din v'cheshbon. And before whom are you going to stand in judgment? Me'ayin basa, where do you come from? Mitipa srucha, literally from a putrid drop. A reference to a drop of zera, a drop of seed. Ula'ana taholech, where are you going? Lamakum afar rima v'soleya. Very encouraging Mishnah. You're going to a place of worms and maggots, going back to the dirt. And before whom are you going to stand in judgment and calculation? That one day you're going to have that conversation that hopefully you'll want to have, but if God forbid you don't take your life seriously, you're not going to want to have it at all. You're going to have a conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it's going to be a din and it's going to be a cheshbon. Okay, let's go step by step. First of all, Akavya ben Mahalalel. Who is Akavya ben Mahalalel? What else do we know about Akavya ben Mahalalel? Well, there's a lot of things we know about him, but I wanted to share one thing. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Eidos. Maseches Eidos, which is part of Seder Nezikin. In Maseches Eidos, in the fifth perek, Rabbi Akavya ben Mahalalel, Heid Arba Dvarim. He testified about four things. Maseches Eidos are testimonies. So Rabbi Akavya ben Mahalalel testified about four things. We did this mission together in my office. Akavya, chazur b'cha b'arba dvarim. If you'll just retract on these four things, Shayisa Omer, v'nascha av beistin liyisrael. We'll make you the av beistin. Right, we learned that there was a nasi, there was an av beistin, the top two rabbinic positions in Klal Yisrael. If you'll just change your position, if you'll just, you know, cave to the more popular opinion amongst your contemporaries, so we'll make you the Av Beis. And listen to what Akavya ben Mahalalel said. Okay, listen to this. Amar Lahen, he said to them, Mutav li likare shote kol yamai. I'd rather be called a fool my entire life. Velo le'asos sha'a achas rasha lifnei amakom. And not to become wicked before Hashem for even a moment. Amazing line. Right? Meaning, I'd rather my friends say, Akavya, your approach to things is not realistic. Akavya, your way of seeing things is off. Akavya, you're a fool. Akavya said, I'm not gonna stray from what I believe to be emes. Mutav lili kari shota kol yama. I'd rather be called. Really, one of the most amazing lines, probably in all of Mishnayos. When Akavya says to his contemporaries, we're offering to become the Av based in Yisrael, if he would just, you know, compromise a little bit by adopting a different position. And he said, I'd rather be called a fool in the eyes of my friends, my contemporaries, my whole life, than to be wicked, than to change my opinion about something I believe is emistic for even a single moment. To be wicked in the eyes of Hashem. I care more what Hashem thinks about me for one second than what the whole world thinks about me my whole life. That's such an amazing line. One of my favorite lines I ever heard from Rav Weinberger, I think I told you this once, what he described from the Kotzker Rebbe, what was the Chiddush of Kabbalah Sator? You have to think about it this time of the year. These are days, the days between Pesach and Shavuos, are days where we think about the importance of having Achdus. Pesach has a lot to do with Achdus. The Medrash Psikta says we got out of Mitzrayim because the Jews started caring about each other. That was the moment that Hashem started looking at us and considering saving Klal Yisrael. There's a lot that went into the Karban Pesach that represents Achdus. It has to be eaten b'chabura. It has to be roasted. When you roast something, it contracts, it pulls together. It's Klal Yisrael coming together to become Klal Yisrael. Of course, the days of Sfiras HaOmer, the tragedy of these days are the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, who didn't respect one another, who didn't show achdus towards one another, they didn't show love and respect for one another. Rather, Mipnei Shelo Nagu Kavod Zeh LeZeh, they didn't treat each other with respect, and they were killed in a tragic way. And then, of course, you come to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, glossing over Lag BaOmer, even though Lag BaOmer is also achdus. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, "B'chavivusa Talia Milsa." My whole thing is love for one another. We always talk about the chavraya of Rabbi Shimon, the chevra of Rabbi Shimon. It was always about a chavura, the chevra coming together. And then you come, of course, to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And clearest of all, by the Yom Tov of Shavuos, we find what? We find that Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, Vayichad Shem Yisrael Neged Ahar. Nu, Shteit Nerashi, Vayichad Lashon Yachad, Ki Yish Achad Balev Achad. True Achdus. Not like the Achdus of the Umos HaOlam, where sometimes there's a perception of Achdus. What do I mean by a perception of Achdus? What do I mean by a perception of Achdus? I'll tell you what I mean by a perception of Achdus. It says that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and the Egyptians decided to chase after us, Vayugad Lamelech Mitzrayim Ki Barach, Mitzrayim heard that the Jews were on the run, yeah, and Paro assembles his chariots, and they're chasing after Klal Yisrael. Uparo hikriv, Paro drew close. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael asenem. This is Shemos Perek Yudalit, Parshas B'shalach. They look up, they see Paro's getting close. V'hinei Mitzrayim noseya acharehem. Vayiru ma'od, vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. Klal Yisrael are very afraid, and they scream out to Hashem. Okay. Says Rashi, on the words, Mitzrayim noseya acharehem. Rashi says, Nosei achareyim, b'leiv echad ki ish echad. B'leiv echad ki ish echad. Shemos perek yudalit posuk yud. Nu, so Rav Huttner in the Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach, Maimer Mem Aleph, says, isn't that the same thing that we see by the Jewish people? V'yichon shom Yisrael neged har ki ish echad b'leiv echad. The truth is, before Rav Huttner said this, someone else said this. Of David of Dinov, Tzemach David, the son of the Bnei Asasra, actually said it first. Most people know it as a vart from Rav Huttner. So Rav Huttner writes in Pachad Yisach Mem Aleph, Rav Huttner says, what's the difference between Klal Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam? So Rav Huttner explained, there's a subtle difference. Rashi over here in Parshas B'Shalach says what? Belev Echad Ki Ish Echad. What does that mean? Belev Echad Ki Ish Echad. Belev Echad, meaning when we are of one attitude of one mind, the lev echad, when we feel the same, when we think the same, then when we have a common value, then ki ish echad, then we unify around that common value. What about Klal Yisrael? Vayichon shom Yisrael neged ahar. Ki ish echad first, belev echad. What does that mean? It means that the Talmud Yerushalmi in the Darim says that the etzem of Jews are ish echad. Be'etzem or one. The Talmud Yerushalmi gives a mashal. Imagine a person's cutting meat. And the knife slips off your plate, and you cut. Instead of cutting the piece of chicken, you end up cutting your finger. So with this hand now take revenge against this hand. This hand hurt this hand. You can fight back. It's the same body. That would be very foolish. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that's the foolishness of the prohibition we had this past Shabbos. Of what? Of losikom velositor. Don't take revenge. Taking revenge against a fellow Jew is taking revenge against yourself. It's like fighting against yourself. You have to understand that we're ish echad. We literally are one person. We're like one big body, the way the Baal Tanya explains in Parshas Tetzavim, I think. Right? To view the entire koma shlema of Klal Yisrael as one big body. So Jews are be'etzem, what? We're ish echad. We're be'etzem. We're ish echad. And therefore what? And therefore we're lev echad. So why am I telling you all of this? I have no idea. Why am I telling you all this? Who's taking notes? How did we get onto this topic? The Kotzker? What about the Kotzker? Oh, the Kotzker, right. Good. Thank you. Sir Weinberger said, everyone thinks the big Chiddush of Kabbalah Satorah, the culmination of everything I was just trying to describe, right? On Pesach, we had Achdus. And during Sfira Sa'omer, we're trying to metakin the failed Achdus of Tamid Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was a great lover of Klal Yisrael. The Chaviv and Talia Milsi understood what it meant to be part of a Chevra, to be part of a Tzibur. Right? And then we come to Shavuos, and we achieve the highest expression of Achdus, Ki Ish Echad Be'etzem, Ki Ish Echad Be'lev Echad. Right? So everyone thinks the big Chiddush of Kabbalah Satorah is that the Jewish people, what, were united as they stood there being ready to Mekabel the Torah. But the Kotzker Rebbe, who always saw things differently, the Kotzker Rebbe said that wasn't the Chiddush of Kabbalah Satorah. The Chiddush of Kabbalah Satorah was not so much Klal Yisrael united, together, facing Hashem, as the Torah itself describes, a face-to-face encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nothing like that in the world. A face-to-face encounter with Hashem at Har Sinai. That was the Chiddush of Har Sinai. The Yevet Hashem al Har Sinai, face-to-face with Hashem. The Kotzker Rebbe said, no, you know what the bigger Chiddush was? The Jewish people were united in turning their back on the world. Yeah, it wasn't so much what we were facing, but what we were turning away from. It was Klal Yisrael understanding that with Torah, we're not at all impressed by the world. We could turn our back on the world. The world says, wait, hold on, we want to offer you something. Nah, not interested. Doesn't mean anything to us. That was the strength of Akavi ben Mahalalel. Akavi ben Mahalalel said, you could offer me emistic things. You could offer me real kavod. Akavya, chazur b'cha. Just turn yourself around, Akavya. You know, face in the same direction as your contemporaries, and we'll offer you to be the Abbas in Yisrael. And Akavya ben Mahalalel said, not a chance. No way. I can't give up a second with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mutav li likari shota kol yama. I'd rather be called a fool my whole life than to what? Than to turn away from Hashem for a second. To turn away from Hashem for a second. That's why the Svarim HaKadoshim explain that Akavya, his name, Akavya, same letters as Akiva, think about it in the terms of Rabbi Akiva also, but Akavya is Rashi Tevos, of an expression that we find in a Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Gemara has it a few places in Masechet Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi cried and he said, some people acquire their life, some people justify their existence over a long period of time, in many years. And some people, in a single moment of courage, right, they acquire their whole world. They acquire their Olam Haba. In the language of the Gemara, Yesh Kona Olamo B'Sha Achas. So the Svarim bring that Akavya is Rashi Tevos, Yesh Kona Olamo B'Sha Achas. Some people acquire their world in a single moment. Right? It was Akavya ben Mahalalel's lack of willingness to change his position even for a moment. Why does he say even for a moment? I'll tell you why. Probably 10, 12 years ago, when we still lived in the apartments in Teaneck, so I used to spend some time by the Yeshiva Gedola of Teaneck. There's a small Yeshiva Gedola, Rabbi Roberts Yeshiva. And there was a bacher learning in the Yeshiva. His name was Peretz. And we were learning this Mishnah one time. And I told him this whole Indian about Akavya. I showed him the Mishnah in Adios in the fifth parak, how Akavya said, I'm not going to change my position, right? But again, what were Akavya's words? Akavya says, right, I'd rather be a fool my whole life than to be a Rasha for a moment before Hashem. So this Bacher, this 19-year-old Bacher, said, why did he say a moment? Right? So he thought you could say that because what happens after he becomes Av Beis Din? Meaning they told him, change your position, we'll make you Av Beis Din. Okay, so he changes his position. He becomes Av Beis Din, yeah. And now as Av Beis Din, he's in a position of authority to convince everyone of his original opinion. So meaning he only had to really change his opinion for a short time. And then once they made him into Av Beis Din, he'd have the authority to try to fight for his original position again. So he only had to really change his opinion for a short period of time. He said, I'm not doing it, not even for a short period of time. Because Akavya understood, Yesh kona olamo b'sha achas. There are people who can acquire the whole world in a moment. One moment of straying from MS could destroy a person. One moment of adopting a position of sheker could destroy a person. So Akavya says, I'm not moving one inch. That's why his name, Akavya, is Rashi Tevos. Yesh kona olamo b'sha achas. I'll tell you a remez, I don't know what to do with it though. This morning, I was just curious. I said, what's the gematria of Yesh Kona Olamo B'sha Achas? So it's 1409. So I said, 1409? I know 1409. Right? Who knows one? One is Hashem. Two are the Luchos. Yeah? Three are the Avos. Four are the Imos. 1118 is Shema Yisrael Shem Elokim Hashem Echad. Mashiach is 358. Okay. Who knows 1409? 1409, and it's very fitting for these days of Sfiras HaOmer, right? The Sfiras HaOmer, we know we're working on the seven midos of Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. So those seven midos correspond, of course, to seven Torah personalities, seven tzaddikim. In the context of Sukkot, we call them the seven Ushpizin. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. So Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David is exactly Gematria 1409. So I don't know what to do with that exactly. I'm not really sure what that means. I'm not sure why Yesh Kona Olamo B'Sha Achas. These were tzaddikim who spent their whole life acquiring their world. I mean, Avram didn't acquire his world in a second. Neither did Yitzchak or Yaakov or Moshe or Aaron or Yosef or David. These were people whose whole life. But maybe that's, I don't know. Maybe there are people, like the Gemara says, Yesh Kona Olamo B'Har B'Shanim, that those who acquire their world in a long time. And then there's a person who in a single moment of truth, I don't know, his whole existence, I guess the Sheva Midos, embodied by these seven tzaddikim, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David, it's possible to acquire everything of all the greatest tzaddikim in a single moment of, you know, of holy decision making. Could be, I don't know. Yeah?
There's a story that you told me of someone who was Lashan's whole life, and then one
Yeah, so that's that Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara says his name was Elazar ben Durdaya. Elazar ben Durdaya was a womanizer who spent his whole life traveling around trying to be intimate with as many women as he possibly can get his hands on. And he saved up an exorbitant sum of money, the Gemara says, and he traveled to one of these Krachei Hayam, to one of these islands, because he heard there's this beautiful Isha Zona, a beautiful prostitute there. And he comes to this place, and he's about to be intimate with this woman, and she, you know, gets a sense of who he is, and she basically, you know, getting muster from a prostitute, that gives you an indication of how low he was, right? And she says to him, like, this, look what your life has become. Look at your life's mission. Look at your goal. To sleep with as many women as possible. That's your goal in life? Right? And she was disgusted by him. And then he became disgusted by himself. So the Gemara says he wanted to do tshuva very badly. And he felt, I don't know how to do tshuva. And he turned to the whole world around him trying to gain support. He said, Shemayim va'aretz, bikshu alai rachamim. Heaven and earth, daven for me. Nah, we got our own problems. Turn to the oceans, turn to the valleys, turn to the world. Until finally he came to the great hakara, the great realization. Another famous line in Shas. Ein hadavar taloi ela bi. He realized that the matter only depends upon me. No one can do it for me. Chava, listen to this. Elazar ben Durdaya. No one can do it for me. Ein hadavar taloi ela bi. Where Rav Chaim Friedlander explains that Gemara is that he was basically looking for an excuse for his life. Maybe it was the place that I was born. Maybe it was the mazel I was born under, right? Shemayim and Aretz. Maybe it's my surroundings. Maybe it was my Rebbe in first grade that turned me off. Maybe my parents are bad parents. Maybe I had an older brother who was off the derech. He had a bad hashpah on me. till he realized that Ein Adavar Tali Alabi. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in the situation you're supposed to be in, and don't make excuses for your whole life. If you chose to live like a womanizer, if that's your life, if this has become your game, now own up to it. And he did. And the Gemara says he put himself into a fetal position. He tucked his head between his knees. Maharal understands that like a rebirth, going back into the position a baby in utero takes. And he cried himself to death, the Gemara says. He was so broken, so heartbroken, that he cried himself to death. And then a bas kol came out of the heavens and said, Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, welcome to Olam Haba. So when the other tzaddikim heard that bas kol, they said, Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya? When did he become a rabbi? They said, unbelievable. Some people acquire their world in a single moment. Yesh kona olamo b'sha'a achas. Some people acquire their world in a single moment. And not only that, this individual, Elazar ben Derdaya, right? The bas kol called him Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya. He got smicha from Hashem because of his courageous decision to change his life. So a person doesn't know what they can accomplish in a single moment. That's why a kavya is Yesh kona olamo b'sha'a achas. Maybe in a single moment a person could accomplish what Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David accomplished over the course of an entire lifetime. Could be. Amazing thing. Okay? Let's go weiter. So Akavir Mahalalel, now that we know who he is, we know a little bit about his name, what did he teach us? Histakel b'shlosha devarim. Look at three things, and you'll never come to sin. What were the three things again? Know that you come from a drop of zera, so now you think you're a big shot. You're a chacham, you're a gibor, you're wealthy, you're successful, you're strong, you're handsome. Realize that you started off as a tiny drop of semen, a tiny drop of seed, a tipa srucha, a putrid drop. Why is it called a putrid drop? The Bartanura explains that even though the drop has the ability to turn into human life, right? But the drop itself is a putrid drop. Be'etzem, it's a putrid drop, even if it does fertilize the egg, right? And more often than not, it's not going to fertilize the egg, and it's going to be wasted potential. And that's unfortunately the life of a lot of people. Okay, and think about the fact that what? That eventually, no matter what you look like now, you're eventually going back to the grave. Adam yisodo me'afar v'sofo la'afar. Man comes from the dirt and goes back to the dirt. And lastly, think about the fact that you're going to have to stand before Hashem in judgment. There's a medrash plia. What's a medrash plia? There are certain midrashim that are very mysterious, very, very unusual. It's hard to know what on earth they're talking about. So there's a medrash plia that says the following. Now, if I told you this medrash on a random Tuesday, you'd have no idea what it's talking about. In the context of learning this Mishnah, obviously it makes it a little easier to figure out. Okay, but when you hear the Vart, don't say like, oh yeah, it's obvious. It's only obvious because we're learning Pirkei Avos right now. If you heard it totally in a, you know, came across this medrash totally out of context, you'd have no idea what it meant. The medrash says that why did Adam HaRishon sin when Adam was in Gan Eden? How did Adam mess up his life? How did Adam sin? Says the medrash. Again, it's a mysterious medrash. We have a collection of medrashim called Medrash Pliya. The medrash says, why did Adam sin? Because he looked at two and not three. He looked at two and not three. What does that mean? He looked at two and not three. So the Vilna Gaon explains, and many other tzaddikim explain as well. He looked at two and not three. You need to think about all three of these things in order to protect yourself from averus. If you're just going to look at one of them, it's not going to conquer what the Bartanura says. The purpose of this Mishnah is to conquer kina and taiva and kavod, to conquer all the things that a person is tempted by in this world. Right? When I remind myself how small I am, how short my life is, and how much I'm going to have to answer for it nonetheless, right? It helps a person to control his Yetzirah. So why did Adam HaRishon sin in Gan Eden? Says the Medrash, because he looked at two and not three. What does it mean Adam looked at two and not three? Only two out of these three apply to Adam HaRishon. Why? Because Adam didn't come from a putrid drop. Even though you could say Adam came from the dirt. So that also would accomplish the same thing. Yeah, but Adam was the handiwork of Hashem. Adam is called Yitzir Kapa of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the work of Hashem's hands. So it's true, Adam eventually would die and go back to the dirt. Adam eventually is going to have to answer for his life. But Adam didn't have the third one. He didn't come from a putrid drop. He wasn't created from a drop of zera. He didn't have biological parents. He was created by Hashem. And because of that, Adam HaRishon maybe was a little too confident in himself, and that led to Adam's sin. That led to Adam's sin. A lot of different Sfarim point out that the word Ur Isem appears three times in the Torah. Three times the Kadosh Baruch Hu commands us Ur Isem. So some of the Sfarim try to connect it to these three things. Estakel b'shalosh advarim. See these three things. Meditate on these three things. Think about these three things, and then you won't come to do these averos. Yesterday was the yard site of the Kli Yakar, where we're frying Lunchitz. Kli Yakar, one of the great commentaries on Chumash, author of many other Svarim as well, Olos Ephraim, or his Drashos. So the Kli Yakar says an interesting thing. So we'll say over a vart from the Kli Yakar on this Mishnah, since it was just his yard site. We know in Parshas Kiseitse that when a Jew does certain leveros, one of the standard punishments that we get is Malchus. You get lashes. How many lashes does a Jew get? The Torah says, Arbayim Yakenu, hit him 40 times, which we know from the Gemara, Chazal say that means what? Up until 40, 39 times. Okay? How do you give someone lashes? Anyone here ever learned Maseches Makos? How do you give the 39 lashes? So the Gemara in Makos, on Daf Chaf Gimel Amar Aleph, says the following. 2/3 of the lashes, you hit him on his back. 1/3 of the lashes, you hit him on his front. As I state, Makos Chav Gimel Amar Aleph. What's the pshat? Says the great Darshan, the Kli Yakar, in Parshas Kiseitse, he says, what's the pshat? Why do you hit him 1/3 in front, 2/3 in back? Because every time we do an Avera, we didn't think about these three things in our Mishnah. We didn't think about the one thing that preceded you and the two things that were after you. Right? What's the one thing that preceded you? You're supposed to think about the thing that came before, which is what? Where did I come from? Where did I come from? I came from a putrid drop, a tipasrucha. What are the 2/3 that are going to come after? Right? The fact that eventually I'm going to die and be buried in the dirt, in a place of worms and maggots. And then in the future, lasid lavo, right? In my future, I'm going to have to stand before Kadosh Baruch Hu in judgment. So that's why, says the Kli Yakar, we divide up the makos 1/3 in the front, because you didn't think about what came before, and 2/3 behind you, because you didn't think about the two things that are coming after you. That's why we divide the makos into thirds. Very interesting, no? Nice pshat. I feel like Chava's not smiling enough from that pshat. It's a nice pshat. Three things a person needs to think about. The Imre Eish, the Majid Sarebi, was also just his yard site, actually says the exact same vart. So Tu Tzadikim was vart, whose yard site was just recently, said the same vart in this Mishnah. Okay. Let's say a little bit more. Yeah. Histaka b'shlosha dvarim ve'ein ata bali de'avera. So I saw a vart, I saw an explanation from Rav Moshe Midner. Rav Moshe Midner was one of the tzaddikim of Slanim. Had a kesher to the tzaddikim of Slanim. So in the Kisvei Ramam, Rav Moshe Midner, he says like this. It's an important vart. You know, I was saying to the guys at MTA yesterday, I spoke to them for a half hour, and I was talking to the guys at MTA, and I was saying, you know, Hashem really asks so little of us compared to what he does for us. If you think about what Hashem asks us to do compared to what, it's a bunch of the guys reading their breakfast. So I said, like, for example, Cheva, you're eating breakfast, you're enjoying breakfast. Gevaldik, enjoy your breakfast. Hashem wants you to enjoy breakfast. It's kosher food, beautiful. What does Hashem ask of you? Hashem asks you to take a couple of seconds and to say a bracha. That's all Hashem asks of you. Right? Now the truth is, Hashem, in theory, asks more of us when we eat. There's loftier levels of kavanas a person could have when a person eats. But the basic thing, Hashem says, make a bracha. Right? And make a bracha nicely. Yeah? And realize that when you say a bracha, one of the craziest things about every bracha that we make is the fact that what? That we refer to Hashem directly in the bracha. Baruch Ata. Before we say Hashem, Elokeinu, Melam, we use a very delicate expression. We say, Ata, you. You. I wouldn't even talk to, I don't know, I wouldn't walk into the base medrash just 12 feet from here and say to Rav Tversky. I wouldn't call him you. I would say Rebbe, right? I'd say the Rebbe. Right? You talk to a person who deserves your honor, sometimes we speak to them in the third person as a way of not showing that I'm so casual with them. Right? Instead of saying, you know, what do you say about that? Right? If you're not used to speaking this way, it sounds a little funny, because it sounds very formal, but it's supposed to be very formal. In Yiddish also. In Yiddish also, there's a way of speaking when a child speaks to a parent. You're supposed to use there's like a less formal way to say you, and then there's a more detached way of saying you. Right? So we use the more formal expression. So if I was asking Rav Tversky a question, I would go to him and I would say, what does Rav Tversky say about such and such an issue? And I would say, what does Rav Tversky say? I'm talking to Rav Tversky. Right? But I don't have to say, what do you say? It's not my buddy, it's not my friend. So to say the word you is a very delicate thing. But Hashem gives us permission to do so. I told you in the past from Rav Schwab, Rav Shimon Schwab said, that's why we shuckle during davening. Shuckling during davening is this delicate balance of drawing close to Hashem and then retreating. It's the balance of Ahava and Yira in my relationship with Hashem. It's Baruch Ata, you, Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. I pull back and I refer to Hashem by many titles of honor because I feel like maybe I overstep by saying you. What right does a Jew have to say you? He has a right to say you if he lives the life of a prince. If he's a person who's careful not to do averos, if he's yishtakel b'shlosh advar, if he thinks about these three things and he lives an elevated life because he thinks about where he comes from, where he's going, he lives a life of humility and an elevated life, then maybe, his you, when he says you to Hashem, it's justified. So Rav Moshe Midner said, that's how I read the Mishnah. Right? Histakel b'shlosh advarim, take a look at the Mishnah. Think about these three things. Ve'ein ata bali de'avera. If you think about these three things, then your ata will not be sinful. When you say the word ata, when you say you to Hashem, then you'll be permitted to say you. If you're a bad Jew, if you're not close to the king, if you're not working for the king, if you're not dedicated to the king, right, and then you come to the king and you say you to the face of the king, off with your head. Chutzpah. But if you're a prince, if you're one of the king's close advisors, then maybe the king prefers. Maybe the king doesn't like when you refer to him in such a formal way. Maybe it makes him uncomfortable. The king wants you to refer to him as you, right? So histakel b'shlosh advarim, when a person's sensitive about these three things, when a person thinks about his life and he lives an elevated life, then ein ata, when he says ata, it's not in the veira. You hear? When he says you to the king of all kings, it's not in the veira. The bottom line is, what's the main message of this Mishnah? I want to share with you an insight from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, which to me is the main point of this whole Mishnah. What is this Mishnah asking us to do? What's the Mishnah really asking us to do? Think about that you used to be nothing and you're going to be nothing and you're going to have to answer it for your life. And the Mishnah, in a simple, in two words, is asking us to do what? To make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. To be a thinking Jew. To not take things for granted. To not take time for granted and take life for granted. Now, listen to what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says. Okay, I want to read to you from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's commentary on Pirkei Avos. He didn't write it. It was put out by his Talmidim, the Emes Liakov and Pirkei Avos. This was the original edition from the 1980s. A little kuntris, a little pamphlet. Now they have a nice, thick, hardcover sefer. Beautiful sefer. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who on the cover of the book, this little booklet here, you know what it says? It says, Chidushim Vayanos Biurim Drashos. Beautiful insights from Maran Hagon Pe'er Hador. The Karbanito. You know what a Karbanit is? Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. To call him Maran, okay, teacher of Torah, Pe'er Hador, that's like a term you give to like the Gadol Hador, okay? But it calls him on the cover here. It says that he's the Karbanit. You know what a Karbanit is? The captain of the ship. It's great. I only noticed it this morning. Captain of the ship, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. He really was the captain of the ship. You know who the Gedolim turned to when the Gedolim needed advice? It was this Gadol. It was Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. He was the Gadol's Gadol. Sorry? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky? He's still alive? Yaakov Avinu Lameis, you're saying. No, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, his son, Rav Shmuel. Yeah, Rav Shmuel is one of the big spokesmen of the generation. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was Rosh Yeshiva in Torah Vadas, eventually lived in Muncie. I like to drive by his house sometimes, the Saddle River Road, just to say, that's where Rav Yaakov, you know, Rav Yaakov lived in that house. Who lives there now? No idea. No clue. Maybe I'll knock one day. Find out. Okay, so listen to what it says here. He says, it's one of Hashem's greatest kindnesses. One of the greatest kindnesses that Hashem does for us is that He makes us forget about this Mishnah. Shichacha, the gift of forgetting. That Hashem put it in our heart to live. To not spend our whole life thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. That's what this Mishnah says. This Mishnah says, realize how feeble your life is. You came from a tiny drop of Zera. You're going back, your body, no matter how healthy and strong you are, after you pass away, they put you in the ground. And in a very short period of time, you're going to be reduced to what? To bones. And in the short period after that, you're going to be reduced to dust. And your soul is going to have to stand before Hashem and answer for every aveira that you did. It's a very frightening Mishnah. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu in His kindness causes us to what? To forget, to not think about these things so much, because Hashem wants us to live. But at the same time, what this Mishnah is telling us is we have to realize, at least once in a while, that life is not forever. Okay. Then Rav Yaakov says something amazing. This is the part I want to really share with you. Rav Yaakov points to a Gemara in Tanis on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Av. A conversation of Choni HaMagal. However, who's Choni HaMagal? You remember Choni HaMagal? Choni the circle drawer. He drew a circle, he stood in the circle, he demanded rain. He says, Hashem, if you don't make it rain, I'm not leaving this circle. And they said, Choni, you're chutzpahdik. But you get away with it because Hashem loves you, because you're close with Hashem. Right? Like a child sometimes makes ridiculous demands of a parent. But a parent lets the child get away with it because you're my child and I love you. The Gemara tells the story that Choni HaMagal saw a man, Shirah Li'ish Shenata Eitz Shal Cheruvim. He saw a man planting a carob tree. Vishal Oso, and he asked the man, Gemara and Tanis, Chav Gimel Amad Aleph, Masa Yitzmachu Peros Milos Eitz. How long does it take for this carob tree to produce, you know, quality fruit? Fruit that you can enjoy. Va'amar lo shalafachos ad shivim shano lo yatsu mimenu peros. It'll be at least 70 years before this tree produces something edible. So Choni HaMagal says to the guy, so let me ask you, sir. V'shalo Choni, hayimata choshev. Do you think that you're going to live for shivim shana? Let's say the guy was, 40 years old. Why are you planting a carob tree? Do you really think you're going to live? Do you really think you're going to live another 70 years? V'ana hazake. No. He was an elderly man, the Gemara says, actually. He's older. I messed up, right? The Gemara says he was an elderly man. So let's say he was 70 years old when he started to plant this tree. Yeah? So the Zakin says back to him, no. Ela ani maniach hadavar lenechdi. I'm leaving it for my grandchildren. The same way that my grandparents left me carob trees. Very nice. I came to the world and I found things that had been developed by earlier generations. I want to make sure that I leave something for the next generation. Beautiful Gemara. A lot of beautiful lessons from this Gemara. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says such a sharp thing. Listen to this. V'nir'eh. Shas kol ha-cheshbon hazeh, asa ha-zakein, rak ba'avur shechoni ba'alav b'she'el aso. You know what he says? You know why the Zakein said he's leaving it for his grandkids? He came with that great vart. No, people left me carob trees, so I'm leaving carob trees for the next generation. You know why he answered that way? Rav Yaakov says, that wasn't what he was really thinking at first. When he was planting the carob tree, you know who he was planting it for? Himself. You know why? Because as human beings, we think we're going to live forever. As human beings, we always think we have more time. yeah, no, next semester I'll start, you know, like I'll really like maximize my time. It's only after the fact that we realize that we blew opportunities. So it's the guys who graduated from YU who always tell me, oh, I should have, I could have, I would have. When you're in it, no, I still got time, I still got time, I still got time. When a person's alive, you think you have more and more time. This Zuckin, when he planted the tree, it was totally illogical, irrational what he was doing. You'll never benefit from the fruit of the tree. But a person thinks they're going to live forever until you're challenged. So when Choni Amagel says to this guy, what do you actually think you're doing? You've made your $1 billion. Why are you still working? What are you doing? Why are you still the head of the hedge fund? Right? Like, what more are you trying to accomplish? So first of all, I don't know, it's kavod. Second of all, there's fear of retiring because what on earth am I going to do with all my free time? Yeah. Right, so I'll buy an NBA team and then, you know, like, a cheshbon, what am I going to do with all the time? Right? But then there's just this, there's this feeling like, you know, I'm going to live forever. Right? It's only when a person is challenged, a person gets sick, a person goes through a difficulty, right? Then a person wakes up and says, wait a minute, I'm not going to be here forever. What am I doing with myself? So when Choni challenged him, what on earth are you doing planting a carob tree? You'll never reap the fruits. All of a sudden, he started to think in a more refined way. Ah, no, really, I came to this world and I found carob trees for myself to enjoy. I'm leaving it for my grandchildren. But if he wasn't challenged, the guy would have been planting the tree for himself. It's a scary idea. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, says Rav Yaakov, Hashem made it that we're forgetful, that we don't think about this mission all the time. Shem Ha'isam Achsheves Ha'adam Tamid Trude B'zeh. She B'sofa Shadavar Hu Holech Lamus. If we thought all the time that we're going to die any minute, that our end is near, as Kol Yimei Chayev Lo Hayah Hu Meirim Yad V'regel L'sasik B'yishuv HaShalom. If I felt I was going to die any second, then I wouldn't be able to make something of the world. The guy was planting the carob tree really for himself because he thought he was going to live forever because he forgot that you don't live forever. When he was challenged, he came with a nice svar to explain why he's doing it for the next generation. But if we realized all the time we're not going to live forever, right, we would become so selfish we wouldn't necessarily be involved in bettering the world. So Hashem makes us forget this Mishnah. But Akiva ben Mahalalel says you can't forget this Mishnah all the time. You got to remember this Mishnah. You got to stop and think once in a while, where do I come from? Where am I going? Who am I going to have to stand before in judgment? I'm going to have to answer for my life at some point. Okay, a person has to think about that. Yeah. Okay, one more point on this Mishnah. A famous word from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says, what's the difference between din and cheshbon? All right. Again, know where you come from. You came from nothing. Know where you're going. You're going back to nothing. But realize that you're going to have to stand before Hashem in judgment. Your neshama is going somewhere. So, oh, okay, so that's good news. At least my neshama lives on forever. Well, not such good news, depending on how you live your life. Because your neshama is going to be scrutinized by Hashem. There's going to be a din and there's going to be a cheshbon. What's the difference between a din and a cheshbon? A judgment and a calculation. So the Vilna Gaon explains that din and cheshbon refer to two aspects of how Hashem analyzes your life. Din, you're judged on what you did. Din is what you did. What's cheshbon? Calculation. The Vilna Gaon says cheshbon is what you could have done. It's going to be very painful for your neshama to realize, not just, I can't believe I did that negative thing, but with that same energy, or with that same amount of time, or with that same opportunity, right, which I ended up, you know, throwing away, what could I have done with that time? What could I have done instead? That's a scary thought. That's a doubly scary thought. That's part of the idea of Avera Gureris Avera. Every Avera is really a double Avera. And every mitzvah is really a double mitzvah. Right? Because every time I choose to do a mitzvah, I'm at the same time choosing not to do an Avera. When I choose to use my words for Torah, I'm simultaneously choosing not to use my words for Lashon Hara. And when I choose to use my words for Lashon Hara, I'm simultaneously choosing not to use my speech for the opportunity of what? Of learning Torah. Okay, so really every opportunity is a double opportunity. And that's what the Vilna Gaon says, din and cheshbon. Din is what you did. Cheshbon is the harsh realization of how different my life would have been had I chosen differently, what I could have done with that time. Okay? Right? You turn every opportunity into a double opportunity. Yeah. There's more to say about that, but okay. All right, let's do one more Mishnah, and we'll call it a day. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim Omer. Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim taught. Rabbi Mispalel B'Shloma Shol Malchus. You should daven for the success of the government. Daven for the success of the government. Daven for peace. There should be peace in the government. Shol Mali Mora, because if not for some type of government, and that's true even, says the Bartanura, Afilu Shol Uma Sa'olam, even for a secular government, we're not talking about for success of a Jewish government, we're talking about even for the success of any civilized society, should daven for their success. Why? She'il male mora, because if not for the fear of authority, if not for the police, ish esre'eyu chayim balu. If not for the authority of the government, people would swallow each other alive. Ish esre'eyu, man to his friend, chayim balu, would swallow each other alive. Yeah. Think about it. You see how people become, so to speak, civilized people. The second that there's a loss of control, right? Whether it's looting during a power outage, you know, or people taking advantage of people whose homes have been abandoned because of, I don't know, how people can, the second there's ability for the police to govern, right? Quote unquote, civilized people can become animals. Instantaneously. So we need to be thankful. We need to offer tefillos on behalf of the daven for the success of the government, because having a structured, civilized society, having law and order in any government, in any society, is a very valuable thing. Rabbi Chanani ben Tradion Omer, Shnayim sheyoshvin ve'ein b'neim divrei Torah, hareza moshav leitzim. If two people sit together, and they do not study Torah together, hareza moshav leitzim. It's a gathering of what? Of fools. Shenamar v'moshev leitzim lo yashav. As it says in the first parak of Tehillim, uv'moshev leitzim lo yashav. Don't sit amongst the fools. Nu, where do you see in that sitting without Torah is sitting, I mean, the pasuk says don't sit amongst the fools. But where do you see in that pasuk that if you don't have Torah that it's a moshev leitzim? It just says, Moshev leitzim lo yashav, don't sit amongst the fools. Where does it say that Torah is the antidote to that? Anyone know the first parak of Tehillim? Uva Moshev leitzim lo yashav, yeah. Finish. It's the next line. Ki im besoras Hashem. Uva Moshev leitzim lo yashav, ki im besoras Hashem, v'gomer, da. So the Rambam says, it's really the continuation of the pasuk that teaches us the lesson here. Right? Don't sit amongst the fools, rather, ki im b'Torah Hashem, you should be involved in the Torah Hashem. Okay? So two will sit together and there's no Torah between them, that is considered a foolish gathering. There should always be at least some Torah shared. Aval shnayim sheyoshvin v'yesh b'neim divrei Torah, shchina shruya b'neim, shenemar oz nidbruah yirei Hashem, ishol v'eyu, v'yakshev Hashem v'yishma v'yikasev b'sefer zikaron l'fanav, how do we know that even one person who sits and studies Torah, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is koveya lo schar, Hashem gives him reward? A person should sit quietly and contemplate Torah because he gets a reward for it. I'll end with 2 points. One, to circle back to what we started with, one of the first things we said, how these are days of achdus. There's a beautiful vart from the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe reads this mission of very Chassidish way. He says, "Shnayim v'yoshvin sheyoshvin ve'ein b'neim divrei Torah reza moshev leitzim." Here's how he reads it. He says, "Shnayim sheyoshvin," when two Jews sit together, "ve'ein b'neihem," and there is nothing between them. There's no walls between them. There's no separation. They like each other. "Shnayim sheyoshvin," if two sit together, "ve'ein b'neihem," there's nothing between them. Divrei Torah, that is Torah. You hear? You have to look inside to understand the var. Shnayim sheyoshim, when two Jews sit together, ve'ein b'neihem, and there's nothing between them, divrei Torah, that is Torah. When two Jews get along with each other, that itself is Torah. They don't have to share any words, but they just have good feelings towards each other. That itself is Torah. Yeah, you could say maybe differently. You could say Shnayim Shoshin Ve'ein, the Ein Sof Beinayim. Right, when two sit together and they have a feeling of Hashem being amongst them, that is Divrei Torah. Continues the Kotzker. Harei Zeh. Harei Zeh. If each one says Zeh, this is my way, Moshev Leitzim, you're full. Beautiful way to read the Mishnah. Shnayim Shoshin Ve'ein Beinayim. There's nothing between them, Divrei Torah. Harei Zeh. If each one says, this is my way to the exclusion of your way, Moshev Leitzim, you're a fool. Don't you realize that there's a lot of different ways to serve Hashem? Okay, and last but not least, one of my favorite ideas on this Mishnah. If you look in the Bar Tanura, or if you look in Rashi's commentary, of course Rashi was 500 years before the Bar Tanura, that's where he got it from. The Bar Tanura says an interesting thing. He says, he's really commenting on the first line of the next Mishnah, Rishimon Omer, Shlosha She'achol HaShulchan Echad, V'lo Amru Lev Divrei Torah. If two people sit together at a table, three people sit together and eat, and they don't say Divrei Torah, right, then it's a bad gathering. But it's the same theme, it's the same idea. When people get together and they don't share Torah, it's a problem. So says the Bar Tanura, U'bebirchas hamazon shemavarchim ala shulchan yotzen yedei chovasan. Some people say that benching counts as your Divrei Torah. Some people say that benching counts as Divrei Torah. Maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. When people get together and they don't share Divrei Torah, it means they didn't bench. Right? That's what Rashi already said. Rashi already in the 11th century, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, says, some say that if you bench, that counts as your Divrei Torah for the gathering. Sounds like a pretty cheap way to get a Divrei Torah in. But that's what Rashi says. Uragilin b'nei adam liftor atzon b'birchas mazon. People exempt themselves from the Divrei Torah by what? By benching. The Tosfos Yom Tov, on his commentary, in the Mishnayos, disagrees. He says, I don't think that's true, and you can't use benching as your Divrei Torah. Okay? But the B'nai Yisachar wrote a little sefer with insights on a variety of things. He has a section on Pirkei Avos in this little sefer. It's called Dvarim Nechmadim. And in the Dvarim Nechmadim on this Mishnah, the B'nai Yisachar says something that makes me smile. Rabbi Yisachar said the following. Bar Tanura says that you're allowed to use what? Benching as your Divrei Torah. And the Tosfos Yom Tov says, what are you talking about? That doesn't count as your Divrei Torah. However, says the Bnei Yisachar in his Dvarim Nechmadim on Pirkei Avos, however, V'keis Nomar Gamkin, Kasher Oskin Bezeh, Sharav Bar Tanura, Pasuk Letzei Sevir Chasamaz Midei Chovasa. He says, if you say over right before you bench, there's a machlokas between the Bar Tanura and the Tosfos Yom Tov, whether or not benching counts as the Dvar Torah. That can be the Dvar Torah. Yeah? So if you're sitting at a meal, yeah, and you're up to benching, and you realize no one said a Dvar Torah, but everyone's in a big rush. There's no time for long Dvar Torahs. Say a quick Dvar Torah. So I'll give you a quick Dvar Torah. According to some, from Rishonim, benching itself counts as the Dvar Torah. But according to others, benching does not count as the Dvar Torah. And then that Dvar Torah is the Dvar Torah that preceded the benching, and then you bench. So this is a good Eitzah to know. Says the Bnei Yisachar. You say over the Machlokas, Bar Tanura, and Tosfos Yom Tov, saying over that Machlokas definitely counts as the Dvar Torah. All right, we'll stop here for today. What'd you say? There you go. Ah, yeah, I was a little late on that text message. I'm sorry. I owe you dessert.